What do I mean by dark arts? Myself as a player, if I got contact in box, I'm going down. It's not diving. It was a foul on Will. He tried to stay up because he was honest. So sometimes you get punished for being a nice guy.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball with LFC's brand new flagship store in the ILAC Centre, Dublin. Bigger, better, with all any red could need.
How's everyone doing? You're very welcome to the LFC store in the ILAC Shopping Centre here in Dublin City Centre, where you can pick up everything Liverpool FC, including the retro jersey range, which you'll see around the place as well, the brand new Liverpool jersey and LeBron James collection. And I think we're pretty much good to go. We've got a legend in Gary McAllister waiting in the wings for us. We're going to talk about the team, the current team, Gary's crop as well, that great season under Gerard Houllier when they lifted the three cups. Gary played such a pivotal role as well. And then TikTok superstar Eric Roberts is going to join us as well. Big Liverpool fan. I was chatting to him. He was at the Chelsea game. He was lucky enough to get a ticket for that Chelsea game and that great night for Conor Bradley. So we're going to be here for the next hour or so, and hope you enjoy the show. And I think it's time to bring out Gary McAllister now, if we want to give him a round of applause. Good. How are you? Gary McAllister, everybody.
Nice to see you. Cheers.
Welcome to Dublin, Gary. Hopefully you'll be back here in a few months.
Yes, it would be nice. It's one of my favourite cities on the planet.
Yeah.
For other reasons. It's a good, fun place, but yeah, it would be fantastic, yeah, if the Reds can get back here for the final.
I think when it became inevitable that Liverpool were going to end up in the Europa League, a lot of Liverpool fans here in Ireland said, well, do you know what, if you're going to do it, this is the season to drop into the Europa League, because the final in Dublin, and as it transpires, hopefully it's not Jurgen Klopp's last game, yeah, it'll be a cup final a few days after that, but what a trophy to win.
It's an amazing trophy, because yeah, obviously it brings back memories for myself and that brilliant season where we won the treble, but it was the UEFA Cup then,
yeah,
and it was in Westfalenstadion in Dortmund, and the game against Alaves was very memorable. It was an amazing night, 5-4, golden goal. There was, I don't know if you can picture Westfalenstadion with the big yellow wall, which is very similar to the Kop. You know, Alaves had that, and then for the other three quarters was just Liverpool fans, and it was an amazing night.
Yeah.
So if they can replicate that at Dublin, it'd be happy days.
Yeah, few games to go, but there is a lot of similarities between that season, yeah, and this season, where the games are going to be coming thick and fast. They already are now. I don't know. I don't think you got as many injuries back then, your squad, no, because this Liverpool team have been hit with a lot of injuries, but they keep coming up with the answers. Saturday, about 5-5, everyone was thinking,
yes,
nil all draw. You know, it was one of those where it mightn't be
the same as you. I didn't see the game live. I watched the highlights come through later on afterwards. I thought Forest were excellent. I thought, yeah, Forest are, they're pretty impressive. And they probably feel hard done by to lose such a late goal. But these are the sort of things that there's only a few clubs in the world are capable of doing, and Liverpool's one of those clubs. We managed to, a number of times that Liverpool score way into extra time, and that comes from, it comes from the fans, but it comes from, you know, the training ground, the history of the club, that you just keep going and keep, yeah, going until the final kick of the ball.
Yeah.
And it paid dividends. You know, it's a massive result.
Oh,
you know, like come the end of the season, yeah, I think the Liverpool, you know, Jurgen will look at the game at the City ground and go, that probably is one of the league, fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely, fingers crossed indeed. And look, you get games where you could win 5 or 6-0, but
yeah,
there's nothing sweeter than that feeling of the last minute goal. And the fact that it was Nunes as well, he's a player that seems to divide opinions, but I think I'd be surprised if the majority of people in here don't absolutely adore him, because you know what you get with Darwin Nunes. He's going to give you everything. Sometimes he doesn't score, but I've never seen
I think the thing that Darwin's got is, and it's something that the home fans really are impressed by, is that love for the jersey. You know, yeah, he just runs his heart and soul every single game. He has missed a few chances. He's sometimes, you know, the ball's played up to him, his touch can be better, but they see a player who's actually just grafting and grafting. But just going back to the City ground, I thought 98, 99 minutes, McAllister receives the ball on the edge of the box and just sort of a little feint, moves it onto his weaker foot and just stands up a wonderful little cross to the back post area. And that's, those are the little bits of quality that are required. Come, it's going to be about moments. Every game's going to be decided by a moment. And that was a moment where McAllister just had the guile, the composure, and just moving the ball even onto his bad foot and just dropping a little cross right onto Darwin's head for the winner.
Yeah.
And that's going to help.
It's not the first time a McAllister has had composure to set up an important goal to certainly have a hand in a Liverpool win. Just, it's very exciting from an Irish point of view that there's such a great connection with Liverpool and Ireland, and maybe over the last few years there hasn't been that many Irish players in the squad, but here we are, massive game at the weekend, but in the title running, there's two Irish players in the squad, there's two Irish players that are now starting and they're pivotal to what happens between now and the end of the season. Let's start with Kevin Kelleher. Looks like by the end of the season he'll have played more than 20 games. For a backup keeper, that's a lot, but how good was he in that League Cup final?
Well, the thing is, now he's really enjoying the fact that he's played in big high profile games. That might be that ambition to actually go and, you know, spread his wings and be a number one, but we have to wait and see. But what I would say, I was at Wembley last week and he made two amazing saves. He's been brilliant. Every time he's been asked to play, he's been outstanding. So he's been amazing. Connor's been amazing, and young James McConnell. The three of them have been particularly outstanding.
There's another kid as well that could be worth watching as well. Trent Condarty, a Derry lad as well. But there's so many kids coming up through the ranks, and we didn't think we'd see them so soon. But as I mentioned,
I thought the arrival. I was at the Chelsea game, and prior to the Chelsea game, you know, Connor had been outstanding. You know, he was building up. His performance was just getting better and better. His quality was getting better. His final ball into the box, his delivery was good. But I thought we'd seen the arrival of something pretty special against Chelsea, because it just all came together. Scored a goal. It just, everything happened. Assists, flying forward, quality in the ball, scoring a goal, everything. It was just magical to see a young guy getting his chance. And just improving, listening to the manager, playing within a discipline of the team, and then just sort of exploding, really exploding onto the scene, and just people know who he is now.
Bradley even showed his versatility in that game where he was pushed on.
But yeah.
You could just see the joy that win gave Jurgen Klopp, because of the fact that he had to call on all these young players to get through extra time. And you know,
well, it's like something he's done in the last three or four games. Each time, you know, that we've been battered by injuries, you know, big high-profile players, massive players for the team and the squad. But every youngster that's been asked of it, and I think there's a lot of praise has got to go to the academy, you know, because Alex Inglethorpe, who looks after all the kids from, you know, from sevens and eights, there's a humbleness about them. So there's something happening at that academy which is very special. Nobody's coming and thinking that they warrant a chance. They just go in, they do a job, and you can see them just absorbing everything Jurgen Klopp is saying to them. You know, and that alone, sometimes young players think, oh, I don't need to be listening. I'm a good player. But there's something, there's the work ethic, the ethos, and just the intensity of them. This doesn't happen. That's something that the work being done at the academy is outstanding, and I think that goes to the academy director. He's got to take a lot of praise for, because every youngster that's jumped on the pitch for Liverpool this season, they've been outstanding.
Yeah, and you know, you've obviously been at Liverpool. You would have played with some of the best academy products. You would have played with Robbie Fowler, with Michael Owen, Jamie Carragher, Steven Gerrard, where there was a stage where these players weren't coming through anymore, but now in the last few years, there's a few stars coming through.
Yeah, and I think the wonderful thing is like the beauty of that means you don't have to go to the markets. You know, recruitment becomes not easier, but if you're actually, you know, allowing young players to develop, and you get this conveyor belt of quality coming from the way everything built in, you know, because if you're at a club from 8, 9 years old, when you actually get onto a pitch and play in front of the Anfield crowd, you'll crash through walls for the club, you know. So that you can't buy, you know, that's only a result of bringing your own youngsters through. So it's the club is in a fantastic place at the moment. But unfortunately, we've had the news of the manager leaving.
I didn't want to mention that.
But ever since that announcement, and you know, I've been to Anfield since. Mm. It's very emotional. The first game back was against Norwich, where I seen loads of grown men crying. There was stewards and stewardesses everywhere. It was really raw. You could feel it, but it worked. You know, just Norwich were decent, but the fans smashed Norwich, and I think they're going to, you know, against Luton for 10-15 minutes where it was getting a bit. Oh no, please don't drop points against Luton. There's 10-15 minutes where the crowd just gathered again, and it was like, wow. I've been in Anfield when it's special, but recently, and then at Wembley away from Anfield, the fans battered the Chelsea fans. The Liverpool fans battered them, and I thought that played a massive part in Virgil getting the winner.
Yeah, and it's going to be an emotional roller coaster between now and May, and the energy levels, players, fans, Jurgen Klopp, everything's going to be tested, because sometimes Liverpool don't do things the easy way. You mentioned the Luton game where there was that sticky patch where you thought it was a midweek game. This is your chance to put down a marker.
I think the flip of that though is it's one of those clubs when everybody's pulling together, and it does gather a bit of momentum, it sort of just snowballs, you know. And I can only look back. I'm just giving you my sort of feeling of the club. I'd played my whole life against Liverpool and thought I knew what Liverpool was about and playing at Anfield. But it's not until you actually join the club that you actually realise how big a club it is. It's miles bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously you learn that by playing cup ties away from home and are going to, you know, far reach places in Europe. We had a great European run in the UEFA Cup, and then you see how big it is. There's fans everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I tell a story. It's like one of the most bizarre things of, I was looking at the Mona Lisa in the Louvre in Paris once, and there was two Japanese Liverpool fans come up and took a photo of me, and I'm sort of saying, the Mona Lisa's there. Why you want to take a picture of this big baldy Scottish guy? And it's just it goes into every part of the planet. That's what surprised me about the size.
So you played at Anfield, obviously, as an opposition player. You know, you played for a very successful Leeds team that won the league title. What was it like there as an opposition player?
Well, the thing is, there was when I first came down in 85, you know, so there was still Hansen, Dalglish, Barnes, you know, so they were in the pomp. Liverpool were probably like Guardiola's Barcelona. They were playing a game that nobody else was playing, you know, and at times you would look around and go, have they got more men? It felt as if they had more men. So they would make these little overloads, all the spiel that you hear commentators and pundits talk about, and it as if it never happened before, of making, you know, 2v1s or 3v1s. You know, they had this ability to come into small pockets and play football that nobody else was playing. So allied with the cop, you just felt it was like, let's just try and keep the score down. You know, that was that sort of feeling. But then to actually go and play there, and then when you're in difficult parts of games, which we've just chatted about, and it's amazing how it does help, because it might just be a tackle, it might just be a shot at goal, and then something just changes inside that ground. And when they're onside, it's special. You feel, played against a very, very good Barcelona side in the semi-final, and they had everybody, Rivaldo's, the
Boers. Was playing, wasn't he?
Yes, he was playing. And, you know, look on paper, but again, fans, I'm still reminded, I think we were just chatting about it there, when Messi came after that, you know, when Barcelona came, when we beat them again after being four or five down, and he's just looking at the cop and thinking, wow, it's a special, and I'm so pleased that the owners kept it there, you know, rather there was a lot of talk about rebuilding but actually keeping Anfield at Anfield and just doing the renovations, it's special, because it's a special place.
Yeah, and when you get the call to join Liverpool, how did that go? How did it all come about in the
honestly,
summer of 2000?
When I first got the call, I'm thinking it's a massive wind-up. My agent, Struan Marshall, phoned me, says, I think Liverpool might be... I says, yeah, good one. And then it was then the chat became that Gerard Houllier was trying to get somebody into the club that would help the younger ones, because there was still getting labelled a little bit of the Spice Boy thing was still, which was, I thought, was pretty poor. It was only because of the white suits at Wembley. But they had some really good players then. But it was Gerard was speaking to Struan Marshall, my agent, about bringing somebody in, an older statesman, trying to help a group of you know, Gerard, Owen, Murphy, Carragher, not necessarily to play every week, but just to try and help them navigate Monday through Friday, how to prepare for a game, how to properly prepare. And my agent, Struan Marshall, a wee bit lucky at the fact that he looked after Heskey, Barnby, Gerard, Carragher. So he did. He did in at Anfield, and he knew Gerard Houllier, and they both trusted each other. So negotiations were really simple. I would have signed from, you know, I was 35. It wasn't a monetary move. Getting the opportunity. You know, my feeling as a player growing up and watching Liverpool over the years, you know, getting to Liverpool represented a better chance of winning a trophy. Little did I know that we're going to win. We won the treble, but also the Super Cup and the Community Shield. So five trophies in 1 year. Negotiations were easy. And then when you get there, I didn't want to be a sub. I didn't want to be this guy that was just going to help these young players, you know, train properly during the week. I wanted to play. Ended up playing a few games.
You did all right. Yeah. Won the League Cup. And it can be important to get that first trophy under the belt. Liverpool obviously.
Well, that's the similarities of the result against Chelsea last week. So it's an early cup final, and now that it's done, people are still, you know, talking about the quadruple, because it's still on, and the game tonight's a massive game, you know, to getting pushing forward in the Europa League. Again, the club is when it starts to snowball, anything can happen. And now the fact that we're getting four or five senior players back on the pitch, hopefully get a couple on there tonight, it's just going to strengthen, because we know that the youngsters are capable if there's people dropping out.
That Barcelona game, you touched on it there, the two legs of that tie, you have a Merseyside derby thrown in between Easter Monday.
Yep.
It's injury time, you have a free kick. How many times have you watch that back?
Oh, to be fair,
I watch it back a lot, to be honest.
I've milked it ever since, to be fair. I don't tire of talking about it either. But what a lot of people don't sort of actually remember, if you just rewind it maybe another minute back, we had a free kick in the exact same spot and we nearly scored for the free kick. I just sort of was sending everybody up to the back post, and I was just going to loft one into Babel, Heskey, Haman, the bigger players, just for them to come and try and crash a header. And I stuck one up at the back post, and I think it was Sammy Hippier, and flashed the header just wide. So a minute later, I'm sort of making the same signal to just pitch it up to the back post for them to go and attack. And I could just see the goalie. He was wanted to be the hero. Paul Gerrard?
Yeah.
I don't think he ever played since. Bless him. But he was thinking, last kick of the game here, I'll go and McAllister's going to put this up at the back post. And I just seen him move. And saying that, Carragher walked up behind me, and then I can't repeat it, there's a few youngsters here. But you can imagine, because he could see what I was thinking. He says, "Mac, lads." And then it went in. And then there's nothing better than flying past all those Everton blue faces. They were not happy. Past the Liverpool fans. But the thing I remember for me was getting back towards the Liverpool dugout and seeing Sammy Lee, Phil Thompson, and Gerard Houllier with the biggest smiles ever. And there's Everton fans come up to me, and it's like it's a moment in their life. They know exactly where they were. It haunts them.
It always gets replayed. And when you've hit it, when do you actually realise this is going in?
I don't. There's golfers in here. You know, when you make a good swing and you hit that drive, and it just it follows the shape that you wanted to, that you envisaged in your head. So as soon as my run up, I just seen him. I just, you know, it was a technique that I used. I would always sort of try and keep my eyes focused on the goalkeeper's feet to see if he was moving. And then if there was a movement, I could wrap my foot round the ball. And I know it was quite, it was, I think it started at 40 yards. It's about 55 now. But I could see a wee bit of movement. And as soon as it left my boot, it was like one of those drives, which you get really proud of.
Pick up the tee.
Yes, quickly. Oh, that was good fun that day. That was good fun.
You know, you barely have time to celebrate that win because you're back playing Barcelona a few days later. And so that's the talk of all these games coming thick and fast. But players must love that. Less time at the training pitch.
Well, yes, exactly. Players, you know, it's as much as players enjoy being at the training ground and enjoy, as I say, enjoy training, but it's much better to play games. Playing games and recovering is basically what the players are doing at the moment. So there'll be very little training. There'll be little walks. Jurgen will be walking through some tactical stuff, you know, probably to help some of the youngsters understand the method. But it's as a player, when you're winning, you just can't wait for the next game. So it's bring the games on. The players will be absolutely loving it. As much as it's, you don't get any time to think about tiredness or fatigue. Yeah. You just want to be involved, and you want to start every game, barring you've got a bad injury, a really bad one. But even if there's little aches and pains, they quick adrenaline just rids you of all those little niggles.
So the adrenaline is pumping, I'd say, when you get the ball, take that penalty against Barcelona.
Yes.
We didn't talk. Robbie Fowler had missed one in the derby.
Yes.
Now, he wasn't on the pitch for the one with Barcelona. So
he grabbed the ball early against Everton as well. Because Robbie wasn't a regular in and around those games. But obviously, he'd scored loads of penalties over the years. So he'd sort of grabbed the ball off me a wee bit at Goodison. But the game against Barca, it's like, I don't know if MD can remember it. I remember it. Because it went right in that top corner.
Yeah.
And I was aiming for the bottom corner. But don't tell anybody.
The goalkeeper that night.
Pepe Reina. With a big sort of curly perm.
Yeah, yeah.
Terry Mack. A Terry Mack perm. Nobody knows who Terry Mack is.
That win, obviously, then you go on and you play Alaves in the final, and that was a crazy game. I remember before that game, people were talking about Alaves are the underdogs, they're going to sit in. This could be a very boring game.
We started the game brilliantly that night, and we were right on the front foot early in the game. We score early, we go 2-0 up. I'm actually, you know, on the pitch. Oh, it was Didi Haman and myself in the middle, and Stephen was playing just to the right, and I think it was Paddy or Vladdy on the left. So I'm just looking at the guys running about me and thinking 2-0, let's go and get 3 and 4. And it wasn't so much a message from Gerrard. It was when you get 2-0 up, subconsciously you try to protect what you've got. So I think within the group, and maybe some instruction from the side, listen, we're 2-0 up, this game's over, let's just sit back and we don't need to take any chances. Where in my head I was still thinking a 3 would be good. But then Alaves manager, you know, he just thought, I've got nothing to lose here. Started throwing on a few forwards. And then the game changed very, very quickly. It became 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, 3-all, 4-3. It was like a basketball game. And that's probably what we didn't want. But then, again, if you've not watched the game in recent times, when we get the free kick that leads to the golden goal, and it goes in, watch it, because half of our team and half of the coaching staff have no idea that the game's finished. They're going back to the centre, they're going back to re-centre for the. I think they might have been 10 minutes left, but the game had ended, but the players didn't know. Certainly the German, the Babel, Henshaw and Hippier, they were back ready to go again, but the game was over.
There was a little phase where we had golden goals. I remember, obviously, Trezeguet scored one in Euro 2000. What's that like as a feeling? Where you knew it was a golden goal, though, yeah?
I knew it was a golden goal. You know, and obviously, again, it's like playing a percentage game. You know, the fact is, when you take free kicks and you take corners and you take penalties, you know, you try to hit an area. You know, you're talking about the free kick, I'm thinking, if he moves, I can get, there's quite a big bit of space. what I was thinking, again, it was getting close to the end of the game, and I just thought, I've got to deliver this just into an area. No, don't try to pick anybody out. Don't try to land on Heskey or Babel or Hippier. Just put it in an area where Alaves have got to defend it, or our boys have got to go and attack it. Fortunately for us, I managed to just get the head of an Alaves defender, and he deflected it in. And then it was fun and games.
We've talked about two of the cup finals. We haven't even talked about the drama of the FA Cup final as well. That was the Michael Owen final, as it's known.
Well, I can remember seeing a picture flashing up on TV, and it was 100 degrees inside the stadium at the Millennium. It was roasting. I was on the bench, and that was a big thing for me. That was, you know, now that you've just mentioned that, I had scored a few goals leading up to the FA Cup final, and got the news about an hour before kickoff that I wasn't going to start. But prior to that, if you'd said to me, you know, if you've got a chance of playing in one of the two cup finals, would it be the FA Cup or the UEFA Cup? As a British player, I would have chosen to play in the FA Cup. But Gerrard had just thought, you know, against Petit and Vieira, you know, the big, powerful, young, energetic, you know, he felt as if that I'd be better used. And getting the news that I wasn't starting against Arsenal, it was a body blow, but I had to show maturity and show that I wasn't just going to, my face wasn't going to be tripping itself, and show the youngsters that I'm, but managed to get on the pitch and we win the game. And in the celebrations, I got the tap from Gerard Houllier saying, be ready for Wednesday. So, you know, the low of not being picked, having to sort myself out, then the high of winning, and then a greater high of, you know, the manager saying, you're playing in Germany on Wednesday, get ready.
And that's it. With so many games, everyone has to play a part, and it's like the current squad now.
Yes.
Obviously, massive game tonight. Huge game on Sunday.
So nobody's spitting dummies when they're not told not to play, because nobody can play every game, especially now. The pace and the speed of the game and the demands on these players is massive. You know, it's massive.
Do you think we'll see Mo Salah tonight?
Hopefully. You know, and we were just chatting about that earlier. I would like to see him start. I'd sometimes think it can be more difficult for a player arriving in a game to get up to the speed of the game, and you maybe open yourself up for injury even greater. Then he's probably trained well all week, and get into this game, I think he should start. I would like to see him start, and then I think you'd get an indication if he's ready to play in the big one at Anfield on Sunday.
They need him, don't they, on Sunday? He loves that city.
And again, I think that's, you know, you're talking about Foden's on fire, De Bruyne's back, Haaland's scoring, and then if Salah, you know, Nunez are back on the pitch, you know, a bit of magic.
Endo,
moments of
Szoboszlai,
McAllister, that's going to be separated by a moment of magic either way.
But even that, City tend to win most games, but under Pep, they just don't like Anfield.
No.
When they did win, there was no one there to see it.
No, it's uncanny. There's, and his energy levels just go up a notch as well. He's generally fairly calm, isn't he?
Yeah.
But against Liverpool and Jurgen, there's something happens. I can't wait.
It is.
I'm there at the weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a good one. And would you be confident?
Again, not that I'm thinking that Liverpool never actually got to enter a game looking to get a draw, but a draw wouldn't, I don't think a draw is bad for both. But I don't see it. There's two different styles. One's very much possession based, and one's like, you know, Jurgen is wants to get the ball forward slightly quicker. And if all the players that I just mentioned are on the pitch, it'll be fascinating to see who actually comes out on top.
Lovely
but
stuff.
I fancy us.
Yeah. Should be an absolute cracker. I'm going to bring out Eric Roberts, TikTok superstar. He's going to come up on stage now. Give a hand to Eric here.
How are you, folks?
How are you doing, Eric?
How are we getting on? I've been called worse than TikTok superstar. Anyway, I'll take that.
I had a few other. But you're looking forward to tonight. Yourself and Gary are going to watch the game together.
We are indeed, aye. We're going to be doing some in-depth analysis and asking Gary some tough questions on the stage later on. No, I'm looking forward to it. I think we're probably not going to put out our strongest team, probably save some legs for the weekend, but even with a young team, I'd say we'll probably still do the business.
I mentioned there that you're at the Chelsea game. That must have been...
I was indeed. It was strange how it came about. The tickets are kind of like gold dust at the minute, but the fella that cuts Jordan Henderson and Robbo's hair messaged me and said, do you want some tickets? So I says, yeah, Dad, a stranger on the internet just asked if I wanted to go to the game. Well, and he says, yeah, let's go. So we went over and watched. We were actually sitting directly behind Bradley's four mates from home, and he obviously scored in the night, so it was an incredible atmosphere.
Is that because Jordan Henderson's hair is no longer available because he's in Amsterdam?
I mean, so I didn't want to question it.
You stepped in.
And these guys' lives, the barber is massive, by the way. It's unbelievable. They fly them all over the world.
We don't have to worry about that, Gary.
Gary was actually getting a trim backstage before he came out.
Just getting in my eyes a wee bit there.
Yeah. So the game itself was incredible.
I mean, it came shortly after Klopp's announcement that he was stepping down, obviously, so the atmosphere was amazing. We were actually sitting directly in front of Kenny Dalglish. Dad was trying to take a few sneaky selfies, and I think he got caught at one stage, but it was an incredible game, some amazing goals, and obviously seeing Bradley get one and an assist that night, such a young talent. A lot of the academy boys coming through are phenomenal, and I think we've got some great years ahead.
Where did the love affair start for Liverpool? Or when?
I grew up in Dublin, and Dad's an avid Liverpool fan, and he drilled it into me from a young age. I moved up to Donegal then when I was about 7, and everyone in first class was United fans. So I actually went home to Dad at one stage, and I said, I think I'm going to have to support Man United. And he says, listen, you're my son, I love you, that's no problem at all. Let me know if you change your mind and you can move back in. So it didn't last very long, and I've been a Liverpool fan since.
They would have been tough days. Things flip, don't they?
Well, that's it. I mean, I grew up in the generation where you couldn't hit a volley at school if you weren't screaming Gerrard when you were hitting it. You know what I mean? It was an amazing time at Liverpool. You had the likes of Michael Owen, and you had John Aderisa hitting 80 mile an hour free kicks and stuff. Mm. So it was an incredible time. Dad brought me over to a couple of games, and that's when I really fell in love with the club, when you're stepping into Anfield and the atmosphere.
So who were your favourite player growing up then?
Obviously Stevie G. Yeah. It has to be Stevie G. I loved watching him, and I watched him from when he first started playing for the club right up to when he finished with the club. And
Played with him?
Yeah.
You've obviously worked with him since.
Obviously, when I got there, he was 19, 20, I think. He was obviously very young, rash, you know. A lot of people were claiming that they had found him, you know. Like, everybody was staking a claim that they'd... Nobody needed to spot Steven Gerrard. He was very different at 18, 19 and 20. And there was no surprise in my mind that he would go on to be the iconic footballer and guy that he is today, because he just had this, just an intensity and a love and a passion for his club. You know, in the days where some players were pretty mercenary arriving and just being quite happy to be number 15 or 16, take big Gerrard, Carragher, Murphy, Owen Fowler made sure their lives weren't... It was their club. They protected their club. They love their... We're talking about that earlier. Just that upbringing, being brought up through the academy. You're playing for the club that you love, and they want to show people that. And that's what Gerrard's game was about. Stephen's game was about passion and emotion, allied to amazing skill, but he had this love for the club, and he still has.
I always think if you hear this question asked about Jurgen Klopp's team, if you could pick a player from the past to put into Klopp's team, I think Steven Gerrard perfectly suited for it to play in one of those.
It's a dream combination, isn't it? You know, it's like he'd be the perfect manager for a Steven Gerrard. You know, just that front foot, being allowed to get forward, have cracks at goal, and that's what he did. You know, Steven's resume and catalogue of goals is as good as anybody's, I would imagine. He scored some unbelievable strikes.
You only get one of them in a lifetime, where they're coming from the academy and they're Liverpool through and through, and we're seeing it again now in the likes of Trent coming through, who could potentially turn into one of the greatest midfielders in the Premier League as well. So it's amazing to have players who are just Liverpool on the heart, and that he was one of them, very special ones, and hopefully we'll see more coming through now as well.
And that's what Conor Bradley does. He frees Trent Alexander-Arnold now to go into midfield where you don't have to go out and spend 40
million
on the right
back. It's a nice selection problem for Jürgen as well, but you know, it's been interesting because Conor's, you know, he's jumped up a station as well. He can play further up, and Trent can go in the park. Conor could probably easily step in front of the centre halves as well. Just been that ability to be versatile, you know, because modern day players they've got to actually take in what the manager's saying and play different roles for the team when asked.
Whatever happens between now and the end of the season and during the summer, whoever comes in as the next manager is going to have one hell of a squad.
Well, the thing is, if you're relating it to, say, the era of, say, Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester, when Sir Alex left, there was a total rebuild required. You know, the manager that came in had to start again. Jürgen's done that. There's been a sort of rebuild this season. So whoever arrives has got to sort of... Why would you wouldn't come in and change things. So it's somebody that understands the way that they play now or wants to play in that style, because it's ready-made. There's youngsters, there's experience, there's great players, there's a great mix of abilities in that present squad, and it doesn't need massive rebuild. It might need a tweak here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no major surgery required.
A lot of rumours, Eric, on social media. You go insane, just different manager linked every day. I kind of just think... Just enjoy the end of the season, and what'll be will be.
There's conspiracy theories floating around that he's made this announcement just to give the lads a kick up the hole, and he's going to say at the end of the year, I'm staying on. So there'll be films made about it in years to come. But yeah, there's a lot of speculation, and there's a lot of people we would love to step into the position. I know Alonso's on the tip of a lot of people's tongues, and he'd be a great man to have. But Germany's calling as well, so I think it's too early to make a call yet, and I don't think we should be thinking too much about who's going to replace him. But enjoy the rest of the games we have with him while he's still here.
Off the Ball with LFC's brand new flagship store in the ILAC Centre, Dublin. Bigger, better, with all any red could need.